Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha. Saraja Rajena Varaya Chodito. Dhruvo Maha Bhagavato Mahamatihi. Harau Savavre Choditam Spritim Yaya. Tanitam. Taratya Yatnena Daratya Yam Tamaha. Maitreya Uvacha. Saraja Rajena Varaya Chodito. Dhruvo Maha Bhagavato Mahamatihi. Harau Savavre Chaditam Smritim Yaya. Taratya Yatnena Taratya Yam Matamaha. Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya said, Saha he Raja Rajena, the king of kings, Kubera, Varaya, for a benediction, Choditaha, being asked, Dhruvaha, Dhruva Maharaj, Mahabhagavata, a first-class pure devotee, Mahamatihi, most intelligent or thoughtful, Harau, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Saha, he, Vavre, asked, Achalitam, unflinching, Smritim, remembrance, Yaya, by which, Tarati, crosses over, Ayatnena, without difficulty, Dharatyayam, unsurpassable, Tamaha, nescience. Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, when thus asked to accept a benediction from Kuvera, the Yaksharaj, the king of the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj, that most elevated pure devotee who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus a person can cross over the ocean of nescience very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the opinion of expert followers of Vedic rites, there are different types of benedictions in terms of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification and liberation. These four principles are known as Chatur Vargas. Of all the Chatur Vargas, the benediction of liberation is considered to be the highest in this material world. To be enabled to cross over material nescience is known as the highest of the purushartha, or benediction for the human being. But Dhruva Maharaj wanted a benediction which surpasses even the highest purushartha, liberation. He wanted the benediction that he might constantly remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This stage of life is called Panchama Purushartha. When a devotee comes to the platform of Panchama Purushartha, simply engaging in devotional service to the Lord, the fourth Purushartha, liberation, becomes very insignificant in his eyes. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has stated in this connection that for a devotee, liberation is a hellish condition of life. Liberation is a hellish condition of life. As for sense gratification, which is available in the heavenly planets, the devotee considers it to be a will-o'-the-wisp, having no value in life. Yogis engage to endeavor to control the senses. But for a devotee, controlling the senses is no difficulty at all. The senses are compared to serpents. But for a devotee, the serpent's poison teeth are broken. Thus, Prabodhananda Saraswati has analyzed all kinds of benedictions available in this world, and he has clearly declared that for a pure devotee, they are all of no significance. Dhruva Maharaj was also a Mahabhagavata, or a first-class pure devotee, and his intelligence was very great. Mahamatihi. Unless one is very intelligent, one cannot take to devotional service or Krishna consciousness. So that means all of you are very intelligent, even if you think otherwise. Even if sometimes others think otherwise. Naturally, anyone who is a first-class devotee must be a first-class intelligent person and therefore not interested in any kind of benediction within this material world. Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the King of the Kings, Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, whose only business is to supply immense riches to persons within this material world, is described as the King of Kings because unless one is blessed by Kuvera, one cannot become a king. The King of Kings personally offered Dhruva Maharaj any amount of riches, but he declined to accept it. He is described, therefore, as Mahamatihi, very thoughtful, or highly intellectual. And he didn't have a college degree. Doesn't say that, I said that. Saraja Rajina Varaya Chodito Dhruvo Mahabhagavato Mahamati Harao Sa Vavre Chalitam Smritim Yaya Taratya Yatnena Duratyayam Tamaha. My dear Vidura, when thus asked to accept a benediction from Kuvera, the Yaksharaj, king of the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj, the most elevated pure devotee, who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for thus a person can cross over the ocean of nescience very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross. Nice verse. Dhruva's qualifications are given titles. He's Maha Bhagavata and Maha Matihi. Great first class devotee, Maha Bhagavata. There's no position of a spiritual attainment in devotional service beyond that stage, Maha Bhagavata. There's the Bhagavata, the devotee, and there's the Maha Bhagavata. It's like the two kinds of Bhagavata. Bhagavata means in relation to Bhagavan. So the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, they're named or mentioned in the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, by rendering service unto the great devotees and by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. So that's the Bhagavata, the devotee who's representing Krishna by speaking the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavatam itself, the book or the person Bhagavata. And here's Mahabhagavata, topmost stage. So Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. And even amongst the Uttama Adhikaris, there's the Mahabhagavata. Greatest stage of spiritual attainment. And another title or phrase of appreciation is Mahamati. There's Mati and there's Mahamati. Intelligent. Durmati is very foolish. And Mati means very intelligent. And Mahamati is greatly intelligent. And the sign of his great intelligence is explained why. Because when he was asked to take a benediction, anything from the treasure of heaven, I mean, my goodness, people go to wealthy persons and flatter them in so many ways to get something. And what they want is part of that something that they have, their wealth. But here, not just a wealthy person, but the treasure of heaven. The king of the Yakshas. It's part of the position of the Yakshas. Not a lot is described in the Vedic literature about them, but this whole pastime is surrounding them. They have, their three things are consistently mentioned. They're followers of Kuvera. They possess mystic powers. And they're fabulously wealthy. They're followers of Kuvera. He gives benedictions of wealth. So when Kuvera is offering a benediction, it's like, here's a blank check. You just put any amount on that blank check that you like. You please me very much. Any amount that you like. There's no limit. And his reply is, no thanks. But rather than saying no thanks, he did say what he wanted. So part of intelligence is detachment. Jnana, vairagya. With knowledge, real knowledge, a sign of real knowledge is detachment. Not the kind, the other kind, where somebody is like a very learned person and they're very arrogant and haughty and snotty and you know, the persona. Common. And even, you know, it may be a pretension of humility, but push a button and watch what happens. You know, real detachment and humility doesn't have a button. There's no, like, threshold. And you cross that threshold and you're going to get smacked by that very humble, very tolerant, very detached person. We all have that experience. So, detachment is a symptom of knowledge. And this false humility is has its burden of pride in seeing how humble I am. And so forth. Life, scripture has a way of teaching us, and life has a way of teaching us the same message. I'm going to apologize for my 21 hours from door to door little travel yesterday, and my brain is in somewhere between here and where I started. It feels like running through water that's up to your knees. You know, it's like, it's really hard. That's the normal processor isn't happening right now. Knowledge and detachment, jnana vairagya, within Vedic literature, that's perennially appreciated. Like a brand, jnana vairagya. Someone that really has knowledge should be really detached. Well, many people that have knowledge are not detached, and so they don't really have knowledge. Or say it the other way around. Without aman et bum and adam bit bum, one isn't going to have knowledge. Whatever one has, it's not knowledge. It's mayaya paritta jnana. It's where one's jnana or knowledge is stolen away by illusion. Because what's the real standard of knowledge? Shelter in Krishna. Why shelter in Krishna? Because he's everything. Yes? Bhunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate. What is that that appeals or precipitates this surrender to Krishna? He's everything. One who is actually in knowledge knows Krishna is everything. He's the source of everything, and therefore he's everything. Let me surrender to him. And to surrender to him doesn't go and let me ask him for some material benediction. That's not what surrender is. And that's not what Dhruva is doing. He's Mahamati. He's highly intellectual in the real sense. Because he has taken full shelter in Krishna. And so one who has taken full shelter in Krishna, even if the most wealthy person in the whole universe approaches that Mahamati, it's, please give me this fixed faith and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which He already has. So why is he asking for something he already has? Because he doesn't want to get deviated from that which is the most valuable thing, which he already has. He doesn't want something else because he has the highest thing. That's detachment. Rasavarjam raso pyasya param drishtva navartate. Just being able to remember Bhagavad Gita verses is just Krishna's mercy because it's not coming from anything else. Because when there's higher taste, then there's detachment from lesser taste. It's real easy. Just like in the airplane. You know, do you want chicken or beef? I say, would you like a samosa? No, thank you, but here's no oil. Very nice. Please try one. It's very easy. Detachment is very easy. Here's another anecdotal thing, because my mind is in that space now. Where I came from, before coming to Chicago, I came from a country where you can't enter the country as a devotee. You can't leave the country as a devotee. So I didn't have, and I was supposed to grow my hair a little bit, and I had a hat on, and I had, not devotional clothes on. But I took my hat off when I was on the plane, but still had a little hair. So I was sitting there doing my Hare Krishna thing. And towards the end of the plane, twice, the stewardess came over and said, I don't know who you are. And I don't know what you're devoted to, but you're really devoted to something. We've been on this plane for 15, 16 hours, through the meal service, and you were just saying, no, thank you. And we finished all that, and I took a nap, and then we're in the beverage service, and you're still working. You're doing, whatever. I don't know what it is, and I don't know who you are. But you're really devoted to what you're doing. And I said, it's not just devoted to what, it's to whom. She said, oh. Anyway, what Dhruva's asking for is not detachment. He's already detached. He's asking for attachment, to strengthen my attachment or secure my attachment to the Supreme Lord. Two things are mentioned, faith and remembrance. Because Kamsa, he was also always remembering Krishna, but with a different spirit than with faith. It was fear. Or Shishupal, he was always remembering Krishna, and it was virulent hatred. Not faith. So what devotee wants to have faith. And, life has its way of showing us what our faith is. And it's called, some tribulation. We're going along the path of life. Suddenly something happens. And it was unexpected. And even it was expected. Like, death or disease or something, some calamity. Hey, padam padam, yadvi padam, natesham. We know from scripture, but somehow we're thinking, oh, it won't happen to me. But then it happens to me. And oh, where's my shelter? Where does the mind go? But it doesn't even have to wait till some calamity. Just put your hand in your bead bag and start chanting and see where the mind goes. Where's your shelter? or someone comes and offers you a compliment. Where does your mind go? Someone comes and offers you some disrespect. Where does the mind go? You know, life has this way of showing us where our shelter is and where our attachments are. Supposing you don't have any attachments, material attachments. Supposing you don't have any. When or when will that day come? But supposing you don't have any, then where does the mind go? Mind goes to Krishna. That's the condition of having no material attachments. This is Dhruva Maharaj. Go wind the clock back, and he had, I'll take a kingdom, please. But it's got to be better than my father's kingdom. And it's got to be better than his father's kingdom. Better than his father's kingdom. One such kingdom, please. That was his program. And that completely changed. And how did it completely change? How can our program completely change from where our attachments are to having no material attachments? How can that change? Taking shelter in Krishna. Well, I don't know if I want to let go of my attachments because I'm attached to my attachments. I'll let go of some of my attachments. But some of them, I'll give up some of the time. And other ones, I'm going to stay closely guarding my attachments and try to, go forward in the path to Krishna. And there's this bungee cord effect. It just, keeps pulling me back. I'm not going forward. Must be something wrong with the process. We're maintaining our attachments despite of understanding so many instructions in the matter. The head goes yes and the heart goes no. I think I've shared this little anecdote. In a place, it was in Nashville, Tennessee, that not so many devotees go there for visiting, and I was visiting, and so someone hosted a program. And it was one of those Saturday late morning programs because I had a flight back to Chicago. So it's who wants to go to a program? It's Saturday late morning. So this was a new family. They invited 30 other families that all said yes. They had so much prasadam, plus the regular devotees, so much prasadam. And I said, don't be disappointed when you find out it's not going to be 30 families, although 30 said yes. And here's the rule of thumb. It's of the people that you ask, something 60-70% will say yes. And of those, maybe half will show. And of those half that show, they'll come late when it's time for prasadam. They won't be there at the beginning. I said, no, they said they'll come. I said, okay, let's just wait and see. So sure enough, it's time for the program to begin, and it was just the handful of regular devotees, and none of the guests had come. They were really disappointed. And so the regular families, they brought their kids, and the kids all sit up front. I don't know why they sit up front, because they want to play. They should be in the back, but they sat up front. So I just gave the class for the kids. Said, okay, you guys have to answer this question. So think about it carefully. And this is a surprise quiz, so be ready. You're walking along the path of life. So many births, so many different species, sometimes a spider, sometimes a giraffe, and they're laughing, and sometimes a human being. And you take birth in a nice devotee family, and you think, I've had enough of this, you know, suffering in the material world. I want to go to Krishna. And you think about it, you go through enough life experiences this time around, and you go, yeah, it's definitely, I want to go to Krishna. So why isn't it as simple as just like doing a U-turn and go to Krishna? Just like, go to Krishna. Why you can't do that? And they're kids, so they've got their hands up in the air ready to say something. And then you call on them and they don't know what they're going to say. So it went around for a while. Then there was a little girl, 5 years old. She raised her hand after everybody, couldn't come up with anything. And she said, the heart says yes. And the senses say, I want sense gratification. Wow. 5-year-old girl. And then another boy put his hand up right behind her and said, and the mind says, I don't want to give up my independence. Wow. That's what makes it hard. Even where, I want to go back to Krishna. We have our attachments. Not so bad. A little attachment here, a little attachment there. Not so bad. Be normal. Nice devotee. Anyway, Dhruva is way beyond that stage. And the symptom of these way beyond that stage is, besides dharma, artha, kama, even moksha, he's not asking for liberation. He's asking for the fifth. There are these chatur vargas is the term, the four purusha arthas, these goals of human life. Human life begins with religion. And those that don't have dharma, they're animals. Those that don't have regulation according to the codes, even they can say, oh, I believe in God and don't have any regulation. It's animal life. Anyway, Prabhupada goes into detail about that. People make up some idea of religion. But that's not what religion is. Religion is the laws of God, and you follow the laws of God. And that's a religious person. And you're not a religious person, you're an animal. He says it so many times. We have these temples not to invite all the dogs in the neighborhood and come here, class in Srimad Bhagavatam, because they don't have the capacity. And similarly, those that don't have the capacity or the interest or the, medha, sumedha, the good brain substance, they're the alpa medha category, they're animals. And people that are like that, they're animals. So anyway, it's not like just harassing people or condemning people, it's just the elevation of consciousness is not yet to the human stage until there's dharma. And then artha that's derived from dharma. And then the higher gradations of refined sense gratification that comes from dharmic arthas or punya, how pious people enjoy. Not the other kind. And then beyond that is liberation. Dhruva's not asking. The King of Kings. Would you like a kingdom? Would you like wealth? Would you like honor? Would you like distinction? What would you like? Anything that you like. You please me very much. He's very intelligent. He wants beyond liberation. Why beyond liberation? Panchama. Purusharta, the fifth attainment. Because when you're fixed upon the personality of Godhead, mind is fixed upon, in remembrance upon the personality of God. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, that was his perfection, remembrance of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu Smaranam. Because of that remembrance, how pleasing was Prahlad to the personality of Godhead? How affectionate was Lord Nrsimhadev to Prahlad Maharaj? He was terror personified to Hiranyakashipu and his buddies. But for Prahlad, he was a pussycat. He was very, very affectionate, loving, very, very different disposition, opposite disposition, because of his constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord. And Dhruva is asking for that, constant remembrance. But how can you have constant remembrance? Is it just like, it's not mechanical. You can't like put your remembering cap on and just like, don't look left and don't look right, just look ahead and don't think of anything, just think of, it's not mechanical. It's attachment. Then there's constant remembrance of that which you're attached to. Constant remembrance of that which you're attached, what to speak of the ultimate of attachments, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with full faith in Him. With faith means this definition of Lord Chaitanya. By this, by one thing, all other things are accomplished. Shraddha, shabdi, vishvas, kahi, sudridha, nishchaya. Krishne bhakti. Sarva, karma, krita, hoya. All other desirable things are achieved by this one thing, so just let me take shelter of the personality of Godhead. Our minds don't want to go there when we're put our hand in our bead bag and begin chanting. The mind doesn't at once go to the holy name. At least most of us, speak for myself, doesn't at once go to the holy name. That's a very advanced stage. And it doesn't happen just by, you know, a lot of mechanical chanting. It happens by the cultivation of that desire. And it comes by, in Dhruva's case, it came by the mercy and honoring that mercy that he received from Narada, feeling so grateful at what Narada had given to him. He went beyond the kingdom ambition program. He became fully attached to the personality of Godhead. So the option, the opportunity is also ours. And that attainment has its symptoms. Highly intelligent. But it's not like, it's not like the other kind, the so-called intelligent. The atheistic intelligence. No other shelter. So it's nice to go to this extreme when life takes you to one or another extreme. In this extreme, it's a benediction. And just previously, it was a terrible problem. Dhruva was confronted by the yakshas and their mystic power. And he was bewildered. And what did he do? Well, the brahmanas reminded him of his position. Hey, excuse me, Dhruva, you're a devotee. Dhruva, remember, you're a devotee. And you have this special benediction from Lord Vishnu that you'll always be protected. Remember that, Dhruva? And if you just think of the personality of Godhead, you'll be protected. Oh yeah, let me think of the personality of Godhead. And serve him. So with that, he took his bow and drew the arrow back, and just as he was ready to fire the arrow, the whole mystic display disappeared. Because it was phantasmagoria. Just as, we'll end with this, Prabodhananda Saraswati's very nice prayer, making reference there is to these three things. The akasha pushpayate. Pushpa is flowers and akash is sky. So that the promise of happiness through sense gratification is like flowers in the sky, or horse eggs, or something that doesn't exist. Phantasmagoria. For a discriminating person, I'm not interested in flowers in the sky, or horse eggs, or promise of happiness through sense gratification. Or the offer of liberation. The offer of liberation is considered hellish. Or the situation of sayuja mukti is a situation where no service. Get liberation. No more of the harassment of the material energy, but no service to Krishna. No service to Krishna. Remembrance is service to Krishna, and I can't even remember Krishna. No service to Krishna? No, thank you. That's hellish. No service to Krishna. Considers hellish. And why does he consider sense? The third point is this, in Prabodhananda Saraswati's prayer, is the danta, the teeth of the sarpa, the serpent, have been broken, the fangs are broken. Then one isn't afraid of engaging the senses in devotional service to Krishna, because there's no opportunity or no dimension for sense gratification, because the whole purpose of sense gratification is to enjoy the senses. But if my focus is upon satisfying the senses of Krishna, there's no room for the other. It's the fangs of the serpent are broken. Still, if we see a serpent, it may be just like, you know, a regular garden snake that has no teeth. We see a snake, we go, ooh. But such a snake cannot harm you. And a snake, even they may be a poisonous snake, if the fang by which they inject the poison is taken away, you know, can't hurt you. Doesn't hurt. But that doesn't hurt. So this is Prabodhananda Saraswati, you know, in a very beautiful verse in Chaitanya Chandramrita, describing the wonderful gift of Lord Chaitanya, is to take from beyond all those fears and hopes for material happiness. To a position of transcendence, to a position of shelter in Krishna. See how Prabhupada ends that. Yeah. Thus, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has analyzed all kinds of benedictions available in this world and has clearly declared that for a pure devotee they are of no significance. This is the appearance or disappearance day. Disappearance day of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So we should say something in honor of him. He certainly has such detachment from worldly existence. He's particularly known as renunciation personified. His degree of renunciation was radical, extreme. He left no room for the senses to capture him. And he was very disgusted with those that would position themselves by dress or by title or something as renunciates, Babaji's in particular at the time, but who were privately sense gratifiers, very disgusted with that mentality, and challenged such persons, and very extreme expressions of his disdain for such worldly people in the guise of spiritualists. The picture, when Srila Prabhupada had our artists drawing, painting, making paintings at the very beginning of the movement, the painting that we regularly saw that Prabhupada had the artists draw was Gorkhishore by the side of the river Ganga, along the bank of, by the side, by in Navadvip, or just downstream from Navadvip. And there's an overturned boat by the side of the Ganga. And Prabhupada's explanation is that he used to go to such places where these old discarded boats, and you know, just like history or garbage or, you know, something that nobody cares for. And he would go and make his residence there and sometimes go underneath the boat so people would just leave him alone so he could chant in a peaceful condition. So many nice... So one of the famous stories about his life and his exhibitions of renunciation. The place still exists. When you get out, when you go from Mayapur to Navadvip, and there are ghats, or places where the boats go, docks, docking, boat dock area, but they don't have a dock, it's a ghat. You go up the little incline of the bank of the Ganga, and over to the left, there's some very bad smell. That's the public latrine. And it was from the time of Bhaktisiddhanta and Gorkhishore Das Babaji. The municipality built it, and you know, nobody takes care of it. It stinks. So he went there and placed himself inside one of those like stinky places so he could do his chanting and people would leave him alone. Because when he would go someplace else, people would come and ask him, Babaji Maharaj, this benediction, that benediction. In his biography, it was described some nice, pious husband-wife couple. Just picture that in your mind. They heard of Gorkhishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and they knew that he didn't like people coming and asking for benediction. So they came in very simple cloth, and they just asked him for some service. But when they approached, he saw them coming, so he went inside his bhajan kutir and latched the door. So they came to the door. Babaji Maharaj, we've come to offer you some service. In silence, and several times, and finally a voice from inside saying, nobody's home. We hear your voice, we know you're home, we saw you go there. We just want to render some service. So from behind the door, he said, then you, here is some service. You can, right by my door, you can pass stool so that no one will come because it will smell so bad and people will leave me alone and I can chant my japa without being disturbed by such worldly persons as yourselves. Oh, well, thank you for some service. So this other famous episode, he went to the public latrine and people were They regarded him as a saintly person, although they recognized his radical renunciation. So they were very concerned for his well-being and his health and so on. So they asked that the local police constable, the head of the police department, to go and on their behalf request him to please allow us to build a very simple bhajan kutir, but please don't keep yourself in that place. And as the constable approached, he did the same thing. He just locked the door from the inside, just continued chanting. And, you know, I've come here for so you people would leave me alone, and you won't leave me alone. Please leave me alone. And continued his chanting, locked from the inside in a smelly public latrine. His eating vessel was a human skull, not like always, but at some point in time he would do his cooking and his, you know, that was his lota or his kamandalu, a human skull. Sometimes he would, instead of doing madhukari or receiving anything from anybody, he would just eat mud from the bank of the Ganges. If we tried to do that, we'd be terribly sick. Probably die. But Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj's renunciation was unique, not to be imitated. Another time, because people were bothering him to come and offer him praise and flatter him when they really they wanted something, he decided, he went to a cloth merchant and got very fine white silk and decorated himself in the finest of cloth and sat on the veranda of a well-known prostitute in a chair, a rocking chair in the front. As everyone would go by, he'd wave, make sure that they noticed that he was sitting in front of the prostitute's house, smiling and waving and chanting japa. So they would think, oh, he's one of those people, a so-called Babaji that actually is a debauch person, prostitute hunter, and would leave him alone. He had radical ways of doing things. But inwardly, his knowledge of the scripture was astounding. And people knew that. At least some people knew that. And therefore, they respected his knowledge and renunciation. Although he wasn't knowledgeable by a degree of study, he was knowledgeable by his Krishna consciousness, because Krishna awakens knowledge from within the heart. Jnana dipena bhasvata. Krishna acts that way. Or ahoituki apratiyata. No. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojataha janiyati ashu vairagyam Gyanam cha yadahai tukam. Krishna awakens knowledge from within the heart. When one's devotion is perfectly pure, then Krishna awakens all knowledge of all things. And all things that one needs to know to go back to Godhead. And that was Gorkishore's position. This evening you can speak something further about Gorkishore and his appearance, disappearance day. Disappearance day? So his disappearance, well, I'll end there because I have a conference call I'm supposed to take part in at 9 o'clock, and I'll see if there's some questions. Comments or questions, anyone? J. Jitendra usually have something nice to say.
Attachment to Krishna and detachment from man are one and the same.
Mm.
But that Swami,
Prabodhananda?
When was he around?
When did he live?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. He was the brother. No, cousin. Anyway, he was a relative of Venkata Bhatta and the uncle of Gopal Bhatta. And he moved from Sri Rangam and he lived near Kaliagat. His samadhi is right there at Kaliagat. And he lived during the time of Lord Chaitanya.
And Gaurakishore lived to be 125 years old, is that right?
There are different reports of how many years he lived. It's Jagannath Das Babaji that lived a particularly long time, but Gaurakishore didn't live quite that long. As far as I can recall, there's different numbers given.
That's in the Two Beyond Duality, right, book?
Yes, yes. Anything else? Huh? I couldn't get it. Fasting till noon, yes, half day fast. Sure, no one else's.
Thank you, Maharaj. So you make the point at the end of reading Prabhupada's report that he didn't even have a university degree. So in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1855, you know, the only way to attain know Krishna is through bhakti. And in that purport, Prabhupada says that university degrees aren't helpful. So a lot of times, especially it reminds me on a class that Jai Jagannath Prabhu gave on Saturday, somebody asked him that, how do we know that this is bona fide? Because he talked to a Sanskrit scholar and they, you know, have their version of Bhagavad Gita. And basically people assume that, you know, PhD, bona fide. So how do you convey to somebody that, you know, what's the best way?
Well, the standard is different. The standard is disciplic succession. And the standard is also you judge the tree by its fruit, which means, you know, we have to be good we have to be good fruits. We have to be good examples of Prabhupada's teachings. Those are primary ways. Very simple. Here's the answer that Prabhupada gave to George Harrison, somebody whose life is completely dedicated and attached to Krishna. They only think about Krishna, talk about Krishna, morning till night is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That person is going to know about Krishna. So the scholar is not morning till night is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So they don't have the same credential for understanding Krishna. If the message of Krishna is bhakti, from all of those translations by PhDs of Bhagavad Gita, where's one bhakta that's come from those translations of Bhagavad Gita? Anyone else? Yes?
It seems awakening desire to such a degree where no other desire can penetrate, so that the mind will go to the holy name. You were describing that, getting that higher taste.
Yeah.
When we start chanting, mind goes to the holy name. It seems
it's like gradual. It's not like one morning you wake up and you're there. It's gradual. There's no other desire. Wow, that's fantastic.
It seems like a Bahu Nam Dhamma Ante type of program.
No. It can be, depending upon, you know, how much we drag our feet, but it's not like that's the program for everybody. one can move very quickly. Look at Dhruva. It took 6 months. You know, he was extreme, but it took 6 months. He was detached. He was also very determined, for the wrong reasons, but very determined. So how strong is our determination, right? Or good reasons, wrong reasons? Not, you know. Something helps us get going when we feel a pinch. We don't like pain. We don't like to suffer. As some circumstances of life come along and they're intense suffering, and people become, commonly, during that pinch, they become more intense in their endeavor. And then the crisis fades, and it's back to complacency. So our efforts need to be sustained in a strong fashion by some inner purpose, not just by the external circumstance. And that inner purpose, if it's of a spiritual nature and dimension, will grow and grow and grow and grow. And just keep cultivating that. It's not a many lifetime program by design or by necessity. It is like that, however, commonly, because we're attached. We hold on to our attachments. Anything else? Yes.
Please send my humble obeisance, Maharaj. It's good to see you. My question is it possible for a neophyte devotee in the age of Kali to become attached to Krishna the way you was talking about?
Yeah. Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami. You know what the last line is? Ma suchaha. You know what ma suchaha means?
No.
Don't doubt it. In case you doubt, just in case, don't doubt. Ma suchaha. Just Krishna dismisses it. We have so many things that we value, that they're important to us. And it's not that we're supposed to trash them, we're supposed to subordinate them to this one principle, taking shelter of Krishna. All things are subordinate to, not trashed, but subordinate to, taking shelter of Krishna. All things that have that are appropriate for Krishna service are engaged in Krishna service. All things. Because that's the number one. Shelter in Krishna. That's a life of responsibility, a life of maturity, a life of Krishna consciousness. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.